Hey, kids.
You're listening to the internet's wettest podcast about video games, consoles,
and pancakes.
The SML Podcast.
What's up, everybody? This is the SML Podcast. I am your host, Joe. Joining as usual, Cole, how are you doing?
I'm alive and kicking. And I'm exhausted, so I mean,
son of a...
who didn't close the door behind them?
Me.
Joe, you're fired.
I know. I've been trying.
He's like, thank God. Finally free.
Want to get the fuck out of here.
These magical shackles just fall off of his arms.
Could not be so lucky.
I'm free. At long last, I'm free. My soul can now rest.
It turns out he's just been doing this podcast of Reed Repulse's little cauldron on Mars. Just rises out. After 700 episodes, I'm free! Now time to conquer Earth!
Wow.
All right, you know what? It was funnier in my head. Fuck off.
Wow.
Yes.
I don't even know what to say.
There we go.
I don't know what to say.
Am I fired yet?
No, unfortunately, because you have reviews to do. So how's everyone doing? Cole, how was your week?
Oh my God, all I have done is write about Call of Duty leaks. Since Friday night, it's just been a constant onslaught of Call of Duty information.
Well, fill us in. I guess we could just dive straight into the news.
A little about what's going on. Nobody ever wants to hear me talk about Call of Duty.
Well, it's news and it's Call of Duty. It's important news, so we should probably talk about it a little bit.
We got an official reveal of the name because what happened was a shit ton of people kept leaking it, and eventually Activision and Sledgehammer just gave up, and were like, yeah, Call of Duty Vanguard's coming. We'll reveal it this week. So that's the name of it. It's Call of Duty Vanguard. We had a reveal. It was inside of Warzone today, where everybody piled into Warzone, and there was a limited time playlist where you were given an assault rifle and an RPG, and you had to fight a train. Because that's the kind of shit Call of Duty does now.
Okay.
The sad part is I spent all day writing about this event, and I didn't even get to play it yet. I haven't even played it. Thank goodness it's a playlist for the whole weekend, and I might find some time this weekend to finally get to do it. Because it's live until the 23rd. So I did, though. I spent all day, well, all week, basically, just in and out, writing updates about what was going on, and then didn't get to play. it's World War II themed. We knew that was going to be the thing, but it takes place on all four fronts and of the battle theaters. So the Western Front, Northern Front, Pacific Front, sorry. And even in North Africa, which is not an area that World War II games typically fuck with.
No.
So I'm actually really excited to see what they do with that. It looks really good that we got a reveal video, an official trailer, and there's going to be a cross-gen bundle, so it's going to be on PlayStation 4, PlayStation 5, Xbox One, Xbox Series X, Series S. No, you will not be able to play it on Game Pass. For some reason, that has been a thing people have been asking me a lot lately. No.
I hate that we're at this point where every new game that gets announced, is it coming to Game Pass? Shut up. Just enjoy what does come to Game Pass and stop expecting everything to show up there.
Well, I would argue, though, if you're going to ask me that about Battlefield 2042, my answer would be in about 7 months. Because that's about how long it takes for something to go into EA Play.
Yeah.
And then once it goes into EA Play, it's part of Game Pass now. So at least, like, if you're waiting for info for Battlefield 2042, which I am not following as closely, I'm sorry. The only thing I like about Battlefield are the campaigns, and there isn't one in 2042. And I'm like, well, I guess I don't care about this one then.
Just check that out.
Yeah, I did. And I feel a little bad for it, but not that bad.
But you know what? There's a lot of stuff coming to Game Pass. Did you know?
There is. There is.
Did you know?
I'm so excited for some of this
did
stuff,
you, did
Matt.
You? Did you know? Jacob, did you know?
He ain't know. He ain't pay attention to nothing.
Yeah, dude, Psychonauts 2 comes out, like, real soon.
Yeah, next week.
Yeah, so see, Jacob did know a title that is coming to Game Pass very soon.
One. What's the next one, Joe? I bet he don't know this one.
Well, there's a whole bunch that are available now, including some that just showed up today. But available now, we've got Humankind on PC.
I'm excited for that one. I've been looking forward to playing it.
EA Play has contributed Need for Speed Heat, Star Wars Battlefront 2, and Jedi the Fallen Order all to the cloud. So those are now playable on xCloud.
Very cool.
Recompile is on Game Pass.
I did see that. I don't know anything about it, though, but somebody said that it was something I would probably like.
Yeah, I know Tim asked about it, and I'm still waiting to see if we're going to be covering it or not. I don't know.
Yeah. If not, hey, I hope he has Game Pass.
Yeah, he does. I think he does.
Well, then there he goes.
Because you know what else is on Game Pass?
What's that?
Train Sim World 2.
What?
Yeah, Train Sim World.
That just kind of come out of nowhere. And then, like, David was browsing games, and he's like, oh, Train Sim World. And I was like, God damn it. I'll never get... Thank God for xCloud. Because I play that so much now because I never get to touch my own fucking Xbox anymore.
That's a shame.
Yeah. You don't even know.
you should demand your own shit back.
I think we just need to buy another Xbox.
Make him play on xCloud. Train Sim is on xCloud now. Make him use...
Right? Like, his computer isn't even good. I've got a good computer.
Yeah, but yours is all fucked up now, isn't it?
It is having a moment. It, for whatever reason, like, I can play Xtillion games on it, and it's fine. And I spent yesterday playing, like, Solitaire for, I don't know, like 9 or 10 hours while I was sifting through nonsense about Call of Duty. and it was fine. I can play small, basic shit, and it's fine.
The good moment thing you I have try a to beefy play, PC.
I know it's not like it's not a $2,000 rig or anything, but for whatever reason, when I play something intensive at all, Phantom Abyss, I'm looking at you. It blue screens, and I can't figure out what's going on, and I really need to like harass my tech inclined friends to be like, can you fix my shit?
I thought you were the tech inclined person.
Yeah. No, I'm like a middling. Like, at least I know how to put shit in there, but when something goes wrong with it, I'm fucked. If I can't Google it and get an immediate answer right away, then I'm screwed.
Root Beer says get a Mac.
You know what? You need to just, like, take a long walk off a short cliff.
That is mean.
Your blood pressure.
That is very mean to say to our listener.
Yeah, that's how I feel about anybody that recommends Apple products. So I adore Revere, but go.
Oh, man. You know what else is on Game Pass, though?
What's that?
12 minutes.
Ah, all the tweets of like 12 minutes comes out in 12 minutes today. Oops, were hilarious. They were predictable. And yet still people found ways to make them funny.
I don't believe you.
No, it really was. Like, there were some people who were just, like, tweeting the screenshot of when it said that it was going to be in 12 minutes. And yeah. The funny part was the account, I can't remember if it was Annapurna or if it was the dev account. I think it was Annapurna. They tweeted, and it just says 12 minutes is out in 12 minutes or something like that. But, like, everybody was, like, you actually manually typed that on time and didn't use a scheduler for it. And they were really impressive.
Jeez.
Because that could have gone wrong.
Anyway, you know what else is on Game Pass?
More games!
Because it doesn't stop. Never stops. Surprise, Quake.
Yeah, that come out of nowhere, didn't it?
Yeah. Fucking surprise, Quake is now available on Xbox One and Xbox Game Pass, as well as Switch, PS4, and PC. And it's getting a Series X and PS5 upgrade, so that's awesome. And then Quake 2 and 3 are also on PC Game Pass.
Yeah. So, I have a funny comment about this, though. Or something I find funny, anyway. Limited Run Games is releasing Quake limited editions.
Yeah, on everything but Xbox.
On everything but Xbox. And I saw those and I was just like, it would be.
Yeah, I think
it has to be what it is, I guess. But as soon as I saw Limited Run Games were the one that was doing it, I didn't even click because I was like, I know there's not an Xbox one because I can't do Xbox games.
I'm waiting for Microsoft to drop their stupid restrictions and just get on board the limited run train.
Yeah.
I wish they would. I really do.
Oh. We're lucky at this point if we get, like, a steelbook for their games anymore.
Mm-hmm.
Is Forza even getting, a physical Ultimate Edition this year? I don't know.
I have no idea. I haven't heard.
No, because it's getting a digital Ultimate.
I live in a super small house with a whole lot of people in it, and I don't got room for physical anything.
Well, that's good, because a game that doesn't have a physical version at all is Psychonauts 2, which is hitting Game Pass next week.
I'm a little more hyped to play that now than I was. Like, as it gets closer, I'm like, I'm looking forward to it.
Yeah, I am too. Especially, like, with, like, you know, the accessibility options that they popped in there. I don't know. I mean, because for me, I mean, I just naturally suck at games. So, like, you know, like the ability to have it so it's like you're not going to, it's not going to affect your achievements for some of the game settings and stuff like that. I do appreciate that because it's just, I'm at the point in my life I just don't have time for bullshit. So,
no.
I do appreciate, you know, like, how they are going for, I mean, obviously they're trying to open up the game to differently abled people. At the same time, I mean, this also works for a very casual gamer, so,
or very lazy gamers like me,
or people who just, you know, can't wiggle their way out of My Horse and Me Too.
Yeah.
So, and just
I
make
still
Joe
need
nauseous.
To get that game.
Yeah, you and me both.
Like, that's on my white whale list. I want My Horse and Me Too for Xbox 3. I finally picked up a copy of No More Heroes for Xbox 360.
What?
Yeah, No More Heroes is on Xbox 360, Japan only. Yeah, never brought it to America. Isn't that great?
That's so weird.
Available on Xbox, but they never brought it to America on Xbox. August 26th, we're getting Myst.
That's cool.
I'm excited.
Fucking Myst. It's hitting PC, Windows 10, Game Pass, Xbox. How
Myst
cool is that?
Myst is one of my most favorite games of all time. I spent so much time as a kid just wandering around. I don't think I ever solved any of the puzzles either. I think I just walked for hundreds of hours and explored the game.
Proud of you.
Yeah. No, same here. It wasn't until I found a... I'm really blanking on
struggle, bitch, struggle.
Strategy guide. It wasn't until I found a strategy guide like years later, and it was only enough to get me to get the bridge on that like little castle that's like on the island across the way to make the bridge come down. that's all I remembered enough to get done. So, yeah, I'm looking forward to that coming out so I can waste more time on not getting anything accomplished.
Repair of My Jam says Myst sucks ass. Oh my god. Why do you hate Myst, Rootbeer? What is wrong? Why
Rootbeer took a gallon of Haterade today? What happened here?
I'm personally looking forward to it because I never played Myst. My computer, like, I was never a computer owner growing up, so I didn't really have the opportunity to play Myst on PC the first time around. So now that it's coming to a current platform,
drop it, bitch!
Tons of video game platforms too, though. Like, it was on PlayStation, wasn't it?
Was it?
I think it was.
Probably. Cole, thank you for the biddies. Dropping 100 biddies.
It popped up that I got bits from my Twitch survey I did earlier, and I was like, oh, guess I'll give those to Joe.
Joe, you have had tons of time to play this game. It's been out on Mac, Saturn, PlayStation, 3DO, Microsoft Windows, Atari Jaguar CD, CDI.
Oh, shit.
OS. Pocket PC, PlayStation Portable, Nintendo DS, iOS, Nintendo 3DS, Android, Oculus Quest, Oculus Quest 2, Nintendo Switch, Xbox One, and Xbox Series X/S.
Oh, cool. It's coming to Xbox?
I believe we just discussed that, yeah.
Oh, cool.
On Game Pass.
Cool. Hey,
now
guess
you have
what?
No excuse.
Unfortunately, there's games leaving Game Pass. Yeah, we got four games that are heading out. Blair Witch.
I was kind of surprised by that one.
Yeah. Double Kick Heroes.
Okay.
NBA 2K21.
Okay.
And Stranger Things 3, the game.
Oh. It's your achievements.
Oh, yeah. Is that being delisted?
I don't know if it's being delisted.
Huh.
Because in related Stranger Things news, the Dead by Daylight content for Stranger Things is being delisted this November. Yeah. The two characters will be reskinned as generics, though if you own the content, you keep the Stranger Things characters, obviously. The map will be gone for good.
Yeah. That's a shame.
Yeah.
The plus side is the achievements that are tied to the DLC, they are updating to make generic, so you can pop them anywhere. Yeah.
That's good.
They will not become unobtainable. You will still be able to get them.
That is good.
Yeah. What good beans?
Oh, no. Carnage said, I guess Joe missed the game the first time around.
I'm banning him, too.
Well, I guess we should Myst 3 exile him. It's good. I can't think of a one to fit in Riven, though. And I don't remember if there was a Myst 4. I don't think there was.
Was there?
Myst 4. Ah, Revelation. Damn it.
Well, you know what else is going to be hitting Game Pass later on this November?
Forza?
Skyrim. Skyrim is getting a 10th anniversary edition because they need to have another release of this fucking game. This one will include over 500 pieces of Creation Club content. And there's
what the hell's that?
That's kind of like their authentic or official mods for the game, like extra weapons and dungeons and characters and shit like that. It's probably nothing major, but hey, it's cool. So I didn't see any pricing for it, but they said there will be an upgrade price for existing owners, and then there will also be a free upgrade for the anniversary edition from current gen to next gen.
I saw a thing that said that Skyrim had surpassed Resident Evil in re-releases and platforms.
Probably.
And it was like Resident Evil had like 11 and Skyrim's up to 12. But then as we were, me and a couple other people were talking about it, we realized that even that list had like missed some versions of Skyrim. Because like there's the PlayStation, and then there's the PlayStation VR version.
Yep.
And then also, it didn't include Alexa, and you can fucking play Skyrim on Alexa.
Are we really going to count that?
Yes. Yes,
we are. It's Alexa.
I know. That's what makes it even more ridiculous, man.
Okay.
Like, if you're counting all the ways that you can play that game, then you have to include that one, too, because it's the most ridiculous of them all.
All right.
That's my rule. It shows exactly how far that shit has permeated. Next.
Another game getting re-released, Blood Rain Betrayal.
Fuck that.
Yeah, Blood Rain Betrayal Fresh Bites is releasing September 9th for all platforms. And then Limited Run will be doing a physical release for everything but Xbox.
Naturally.
Yep. Good shit. Good shit. Something finally, some good news for Xbox gamers who are Oddworld fans. Microids teased an Xbox release of Oddworld Soulstorm.
Ah.
Yeah, they had a little video online that had Abe revealing something, and they cut to his face, and it glowed green, and they had the Xbox boot up sound.
Ah.
So it looks like Soulstorm is making its way to Xbox.
I thought it was already on there. I didn't realize. I'll be damned. I don't keep up with that game. I don't know. I just don't. At that point, if it's not in my wheelhouse of shit I already play, then and I don't hear about it on the show, then I don't know.
Dark Mika, just a reminder for everyone, Rain from Blood Rain was in Playboy magazine. Y'all remember that?
Yeah, that's right. Yeah, I do remember that, along with Melina from Mortal Kombat.
Yeah, pretty sure I still have that issue.
Hmm. I don't remember who else posed, though.
I don't know.
There was like five different like video game women.
Yeah, it was weird. And they did it more than 1 year, too. Which was, they did? Yeah, I'm pretty sure they did it another time.
Oh, because I remember they also had Marge Simpson pose.
Yeah, that was fucking weird. Why are we talking about this? Xbox is finally testing 4K UI for Alpha and Alpha Skip Ahead members on the Series X.
It looks very crisp.
So they're going to have a 4K dashboard, finally.
Good.
Good shit. Dark Mika, scan that issue and email it to me.
The console wars are mad about that, but eh.
Hockey, do you not have Google? Jesus.
Right.
Biomutant has sold over 1 million copies, and it broke even a week after launch.
Congrats, nice. The Biomutant.
Yeah. I need to play that more. That it's cute.
Yeah. I need to finish it, but I didn't finish. I don't ever get to finish a game. I get to play just enough of it.
Yep.
And then I'm like, okay, life. Next one.
That's our life. Death Trash made back its development costs and sold enough that the studio is able to finish the game themselves, I guess, instead of going to crowdfunding or looking for a publisher or anything. They could just do it themselves.
Nice.
So rock on for them.
Always happy when devs succeed.
Indeed. Thunderful has stated that The Gunk is still on track for a 2021 release, and more information will be coming soon, although it worries me given we haven't heard anything really concrete about it. Like, if they're going to release it this year, it's going to have to be sometime in December, because if they release it in the fall, they're fucked.
Yeah.
Yep.
Like, the only opening would be sometime in December.
I completely forgot that was supposed to come out this year.
Yeah.
I don't know why it just wasn't even on my radar.
Oh, I know something that is on your radar. Goodbye, Volcano High.
God damn it. Thought we were going to talk about Back for Blood.
No. Unfortunately, Goodbye, Volcano High was delayed to 2022. So the sole reason that you want a PS5. The sole reason you want a PS5 is getting a little delay.
Hope they take their time to redraw the faces.
You're drifting away from your mic again.
I did, because I'm so frustrated that you brought this shit up.
Are you not excited?
Not at all.
That was confusing. Okay.
Why? What's confusing?
The whole Volcano High thing, because there's a South Korean martial arts movie but that's called Volcano High. And so, like, Goodbye Volcano High, I was like, oh, man, did they make a video game out of that movie? And so I went to go look it up, and it's, like, anthropomorphic, like, animals and stuff like that. And I was just like,
yeah, man,
I don't think this is related. And so I went to look that up even more, and I was just like, oh, yes, this is not the same thing.
No, they are not related at all.
You should watch Volcano High, by the way. It's pretty damn good. And also MTV purchased the rights to it and then had a bunch of rappers like Snoop Dogg do all the dubbing, which made it even more amazing.
What the fuck?
Yeah, they did it like 2002, 2003-ish. Interesting. It was pretty great.
Very interesting. All right, Cole, what Back for Blood shit did you want to talk about?
It had a beta and it was great.
Helpful. Yep. You were mad at me for not talking about Back for Blood.
Look, it was just a matter of when you said something I was excited about, I thought it was going to be Back for Blood. So I thought maybe I missed something that had happened. Maybe I didn't know. I've been in the Call of Duty hole. I didn't get to look at the other news. You let me down. You hurt my heart.
Well, what other news do you have? Anything?
Literally all I had was just to regurgitate Call of Duty stuff.
Nothing else?
No, I have not got to do anything.
Do you have to rely on Jacob for news again?
I know it. And so he's going to talk about obscure movies that nobody gives a fuck about. He's going to
talk about casting information for some video game adaptation that's like only in South Africa.
Rude. Yeah,
am I wrong?
Well, actually, I like one person's obit. I was going to discuss like how they were cast in something, but fine. Damn it, dick.
What news do you have, Jacob?
All right, so two things from EA. The first one actually has to do with Battlefield 2042. So if you're part of the technical preview, you had to sign an NDA or at least agree to it. EA is warning everyone that you better keep to your NDA. Otherwise, they will go so far as to block you from playing the game when it is actually released.
But they like, could. So not that they would, but they could.
All right. Fine. Yeah, it might happen. But, all right. Whatever. So, you know, just remember, don't share your stuff. Don't hand your account over to other people and keep that NDA serious because EA might, quote unquote, go after you.
Yeah, just don't fuck around. You sign an NDA, stick to it.
So, in other EA news, they are now saying that they're going to consider, quote unquote, the player perspective when they delist games in the future. This all started because they got rid of Ultima Underworld 1 and 2, Syndicate Plus, and Syndicate Wars from GOG earlier this summer. And fans had enough of an uproar with EA about it that EA decided to bring them back. And currently, they're all free. Until I think it's the beginning of September. Nice. On GOG. So, and they're now going to look more closely at, like, you know, what does this mean for the fandom? You know, is it really impacting us if we actually remove it? All that other kind of stuff. So they're not just going to remove it. They're not just going to remove things because sales are slow. You know, they're also going to take it to other, you know, other things into account. So
allegedly.
Yeah. I mean, if anything, they just removed it for 3 months and then was just like, oh, we learned our lesson. You love us again, right?
Here, it's not free Activision for Blizzard. It's free for a few months and then you can buy it again.
Honestly, I bought it when they announced it was getting delisted, and then GOG will actually let you refund the money that you spent for it, which is $5 total for all four games. And I was just like,
don't do it. Money.
The thing is, I'm just like, wait, don't do it. Like get a refund or don't do it and don't get a refund.
Don't get a refund. Let them have their $5.
Yeah, no, I mean, that was my thing. I was just like, I'm not going to screw over GOG on this. I mean, it's $5. I don't care that much. Like, whatever. So, yeah. California is also accusing Riot of misleading employees about their right to speak up to the federal government. The California Department of Fair Employment and Housing issued a statement saying that Riot Games has failed to inform its employees to speak to the government about instances of harassment and discrimination. So Riot just continues to be terrible.
Nice.
Although, you know, Riot's just like, oh, well, you know, we didn't do this, and we sent notices to people, and we wouldn't prohibit them from speaking to the government, blah, 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 blah. And it's just like, uh-huh. So, cool. I don't believe them.
Next.
So
take a page out of Cole's book.
The last bit of info I had is that martial arts, famous martial martial arts action star, Sonny Chiba, has passed away. You'll note a lot of people remember him from like the Street Fighter and its four sequels, which some of those were inspiration for like Streets of Rage, Final Fight, and Street Fighter 2 and that kind of stuff. And he also made some American films like the Kill Bill movies, Fast and Furious, Tokyo Drift. However, he was also in Biohazard, the stage show, which toured Japan and was a Japan-only Resident Evil stage show, which I've actually tried watching it with subtitles before. There used to be a YouTube cut of it. I will tell you what, it is not exciting. So
it doesn't sound exciting.
Yeah, it's just, it's like, oh, there's zombies at a, like, I think it was in Australia, I think. I don't know. Like, I mean, it was just like, oh, it's happening at a college in Australia, in which I'm pretty sure, like, wasn't this the plot of House of the Dead 2? Like, not the game, but, like, the Uwe Boll movie?
I didn't watch that shit, so I don't know. Did you? You watched it, didn't you?
I did, yeah. It has sticky fingers in it. He's the only Sid Haig's in it too. Cause what it is supposedly, you know, they've tracked down to where Patient Zero was after the first House of the Dead movie. And then they go to this university campus where Sid Haig is this, professor who is working with dead bodies. And like, you know, he's this evil scientist. Of course, like he's chewing up the scenery cause it's Sid Haig and, you know, he does shitloads of horror movies. So like they have to go in and like exterminate, like, you know, the menace and stuff like that. And of course, you know, oh no, I got bit. Oh, I'll cover it up. And like, it's the usual zombie stuff. Although, like, there was, like, one briefly interesting scene where, like, one of the guys covers himself up with zombie guts to make his way through a crowd of zombies. Like, that actually had some decent tension to it. But the rest of the movie sucks, and it ends on this, like, oh, no, the whole entire world is becoming infested with zombies. We failed our mission. And then it's obviously leading to a House of the Dead 3, which never happened, and instead got turned into, like, some Dean Cain zombie movie. Which I still have yet to track down, but it's not really worth watching ever.
I failed my mission of not having you talk about fucking movies.
Very, very badly.
Son of a bitch.
I could talk more.
No, you can't.
You ready for reviews? Yes,
of movies?
No.
Aw. Yeah, I guess.
First game to talk about tonight is called Mayhem Brawler, developed and published by Hero Concept, released August 19th on Xbox One, Switch, PS4, and PC for $19.99. Mayhem Brawler is an urban fantasy-themed beat-em-up that brings back the 90s arcade vibe to present day. With comic book-style art and kick-ass soundtracks, it offers a unique experience that you can tackle solo or as co-op with friends while defining the next step in the story with your choices. Oh my God, it actually said unique experience. That's fantastic. Jacob, tell us about Mayhem Brawler.
Well, first off, that's a rather loose interpretation of a unique experience. Seeing as pretty much, I mean, this feels like every other beat 'em up that I've ever played. So it borrows a lot from the Streets of Rage series in terms of gameplay and stuff like that. And you play as one of three members of this, like, they're not alien, but like mutant or something, I don't know, 90s comic bookish, you know, police force. One guy looks like a Frankensteinish kind of guy, like another one's this cop guy who's supposed to be kind of like Wolverine, and then of course you have this blonde busty woman who has psychic powers. You know, it's they all look like X-Men rejects that got put into a cop uniform. But at the same time, the voice acting with the lines that they're given is top notch. They're a lot of fun. And you get introduced to a lot of interesting characters. Enough that, honestly, if this was a comic book series, I would have been down for reading it. That being said, as you're going through the gameplay, I had to end up setting it on rookie, and I was still getting my ass kicked a lot. What made it even worse is that the game, one of the game's hints was, is the game getting too tough? Try using block. And I was just like, screw you, man. Like, I am using block and it doesn't seem to be doing shit.
Like, use block, you suck.
Oh, man. I was so mad when I read that.
You wiener.
But it's just, it's a lot of fun. My only gripe with it is that it doesn't seem like the blocks are working as well. And also, you know, if you hit an enemy, but they were also in the process of hitting you, even if you struck first, you're still going to get blowback from them. And everybody has these like little icons above them, which are supposed to stand for little things like this person, you know, they've got their shield up, you know, a shield is in like defenses and stuff. They've got their defenses up, or this person's bleeding out and stuff like that. And like, I get it. That's kind of it's an interesting mechanic to have, but it was a little too much for me to pay attention to, like while I'm trying to survive and not get my ass kicked by the boss again. And it's just, I don't know. It was real frustrating. Cause even like when you died, and you were just
hold
like,
on. I'm going to interrupt my show to talk to Ashley for a second. Okay. My mom said the power might be out and that there should be a flashlight where you walk in and to be careful. And she sends her love, and they're at a hotel in Asbury Park.
Love you too.
Jacob says he loves you too.
Love you, Ashley.
Ashley. Cole says she loves you too. So, Mayhem Brawler.
Sounds great. It also really drove me nuts. Like, I'd get my ass kicked by a boss, and I'd hit continue, and it would just start me back all the way at the very beginning of the stage. Yeah, it got real annoying real fast with that, especially with the difficulty with blocking actually working. So, yeah, I don't know. I mean, I do like it. I like the idea of it. And I do appreciate that the story has like branching stuff. And so like you can decide, you know, oh, do I trust this person or do I not? And so if you do, like it presents you with this different issue, like comic book issue, quote unquote, than what you would be getting if you didn't trust them. And so I don't know. Like, it has a lot of good ideas going for it. Stuff needs to get tightened up, but I had a lot of fun with it. I mean, I'm still going to stick with Streets of Rage 4 for the time being, but this one's still going to stay on my Xbox for a while, you know, in hopes that some stuff gets tightened up and, you know, I'll return to it and maybe not suck as bad.
So basically just some difficulty adjustments need to be handled.
Yeah. I mean, I guess the only other thing that's, you know, maybe a complaint. So it has local co-op, but it doesn't have online co-op, which was, you know, I mean, granted, right now we're in a pandemic and I don't know how much Hero Concept does with online stuff. So maybe that's really not their bag, but online would have definitely been appreciated for it. And it would have given it more longevity, in my opinion.
No. Well, as it sits, $20, what do you think of Mayhem Brawler?
I'd be more okay with 15, but $20 I wouldn't complain about.
All right, cool. Next game to talk about, Sam & Max Save the World, developed and published by Skunk Ape Games, released August 10th on Xbox One for $19.99. Sam is a 6-foot canine detective with a love of justice. Max is a hyperkinetic, rabbity thing with a taste for mayhem. Together, they're the freelance police, and they're about to save the world. Jacob, tell us about Sam & Max Save the World.
So it felt so good to play this. Some of you who actually like listen to me when I babble, I love point and click adventure games from way back in the day. I love like the golden age of LucasArts. So any Sam & Max title I'm always down for. And this one is no different. So it's a remake do they list it as a remake? I mean, I know it's definitely prettied up, but
I think it's officially a remaster.
A remaster? Okay. Of the old Telltale Games version, which I don't know if that's still available on Xbox 360. It was. But so anyways, it's a much prettier version of that game. And like, it's just so nice being able to like walk around in their office, and everything just like, it looks just so much better. Like the graphics, you know, it, in the old version of the game, like their office had this weird, like, I don't know if they were going for a certain mood with it, but it's like the light never worked. And so like the outside, it would be super bright, but inside it was dark, even though the lamps were lit and stuff like that, like that in the old version. And now that's corrected, and like, it just looks correct. And the gameplay. So pretty much you just have to use your, use your stick to move, or you can use one of them, the left one, to move around the office, or, well, not just the office, but, you know, the world. And right stick, you can use that to select different things that you can interact with, whether it is like a TV, the rat hole of a certain terroristic rat that, you know, wants your cheese that you have in your office, you know, or the guys down at the store. And you know, you could figure out like what all is available that you can look at, and you get to listen to all the commentary that Sam and Max have to say about it, or whether or not you can pick up an item, which, you know, you'll use it to work with stuff. Like, for instance, in the very beginning, the rats want Swiss cheese, but unfortunately you don't have any Swiss cheese. However, you just assume that they don't actually care and know what Swiss cheese is really like. So you take your gun and you blow a bunch of holes in the cheese, and now it's Swiss cheese and the rats accept it. So you get a lot of puzzles like that in this game. And along with it, you get the witty banter that, you know, if you've ever played a Sam and Max game, or you used to watch the Saturday morning cartoon, which, looking back, like, holy crap, they actually had their own cartoon, which, you know, it's the 90s. So, but yeah, like, it's faithfully done. It's lovingly done. It's a lot of fun. If you liked the original game, I highly recommend checking this out, because it's a wonderful remaster of it. If you haven't played these kind of games, you know, this is definitely a good game to check it out, because it'll have you laughing as you're playing.
Yeah, it bills itself as a remaster, but looking at screenshots, like, because the original 360 version is still available for sale for $10 if people are interested in something that is substantially uglier looking. Yeah. Comparing the screenshots, this looks like more of a remake than a remaster. It looks like they did a lot more work than just prettying it up. It looks like they did a lot of work.
There's no more, like, the icons are no longer there, like, when you're selecting stuff. Like, the original Telltale Games one definitely tried going for the old aesthetic, and this one's just, you know, you can tell that they're more concerned with getting it updated and making it more accessible to everyone.
No.
Old nostalgia be damned with certain areas. That being said, for people who aren't familiar with point and click ones, thankfully, like, the very first level, or area, I should say, works as kind of like a tutorial to get you used to what you need to do. Like, you can't leave the room until you've completed the puzzle and stuff like that. But I kind of wish that there was almost like a tutorial, if anything, just like a quick blurb video that, like, explains, you know, this is what you do, this is why you do it. Sometimes you'll have to combine items or use an item that doesn't make sense for a certain situation, you know, try everything to see what happens. Because it's been a while since point and click adventure games have been popular, and we very well might be running into an entire generation that has no clue about this kind of stuff. So I would have appreciated a tutorial. It's definitely not a game breaker. It's not something I needed personally, but I think for other gamers, it would have been nice to have, but it doesn't stop my recommendation for this at all. So I was really pleased with this.
Well, $20, then. What is your official verdict?
Seriously?
Yep.
$20?
Yes.
Absolutely. Oh, my God. Seriously, I thought that this thing was going to be like a $40, like, game or something like that. Yeah, $20, absolutely.
Like how you yelled at me when I said it was $20.
Yeah, because I didn't believe you. I seriously didn't.
I honestly thought that was that. Oh, it's $20, Kenny yell too. Like,
and it's like, oh, it's that much. And instead it's, oh, it's that much.
Yeah, I didn't expect it to be that little. Oh my God, yeah. No, everybody has to go buy this, and also Vector Units Mousebot. Those are my summer commandments.
Oh, Jesus. And Hades while you're at it.
Well, I haven't played Hades, so I don't...
Well, then fucking buy Hades. Go fix that.
I thought that... Isn't that coming to Game Pass?
It's on Game Pass. Go fucking play it. What are you waiting for?
So why would I buy it?
Play it, you
whore. Because it's good and you should support developers.
Well, I mean, I do that anyway, but, you know, I also got, like, a huge backlog. It's not...
Put him in his place.
Play Hades. Do you have any final words, Jacob?
Dang it, I did. But play if Hades. Anything, yeah, play Hades.
Oh, my Lord. All right, moving on. Next game to talk about is called I Am Dead, developed by Hollow Ponds, published by Annapurna Interactive, released August 9th on Xbox One, Switch, and PC for $19.99. Morris Lupton is the recently deceased museum creator of the tiny island of Shelmerston, who is reunited with the ghost of his dog Sparky, only to discover that a disaster is about to destroy his beloved island. Together they must discover or uncover the town's ancient mysteries, prevent the island's volcano from erupting, and save the place they call home. Cole, tell us about I Am Dead.
Morris is dead.
Aww.
Yeah. It was kind of funny the way, like, it makes me sad that, like, the summary and stuff kind of spoils that, because I didn't know when I loaded it up. I saw a trailer for this game. I fell in love with it. And then I immediately blocked any and all information about it, because if I don't, I get really disappointed because I find out way too much. And then I don't enjoy the game as much. So it was really exciting for me to, like, when I loaded it up and then the first thing I did was, like, you're walking through the beach and Morris is telling you about, oh, you know, there's the lighthouse. And I always thought having, you know, doing yoga on the lighthouse would be kind of cool. And he's, like, telling you about the island. And then you walk past a bench and you realize it says in loving memory of Morris. And then you're like, oh, shit. I'm the ghost. And even though, like, the name of the game is I Am Dead, you still don't quite expect it to be your particular character that's the ghost, right? So it hit just like when I had that realization. I kind of said to anybody who listens to this is going to miss out on that. Because I really enjoyed the way that it's brought out right there at the beginning with the bench and everything. So Morris in his lifetime was the museum curator for the little island. And he had his beloved dog, Sparky. He'll tell you all about her in the beginning. And Morris discovers that in death, there's very few things he can do. It took him a little while to get used to the idea that he was dead. He's not really having an existential crisis or anything at this point. He's kind of worked through it all. But we discover that Morris has the ability to interact with items in a way that the game calls slicing. And so it's kind of like hyper zooming in so that layers of the item gradually disappear. And then you can see more like inside of it or, you know, what it's made up of. It's a really interesting mechanic. It's almost kind of like when you're playing a horror game and you're examining an item and you zoom in too far and part of it kind of clips out. But it's like they made that the whole premise of how you interact, and it was intentional. So the game itself actually carries out like a hidden object puzzle, realistically. Morris needs to interact with a few other ghosts on the island to try to find one that can take over a role to protect the island and prevent a volcano from erupting. Because the volcano is supposed to be dormant, but the ghost responsible for keeping it that way has poofed. So we need a new ghost. Another ghost. You'll start off going through an area. I'm going to use the lighthouse from the beginning. How Morris, if you remember, I said he talks about how he thought doing yoga at the lighthouse was cool. So your first ghost that you will actually interact with was the lighthouse keeper. And in order to summon that ghost, you need to learn about them. So you'll learn all about that ghost's life and experiences they had by interacting with the items in the lighthouse. You'll need you'll be able to see. I'm going to say you can interact with people, but the game wears its charm and its quirkiness on its sleeve. And sometimes, like, you're reading the memories of a robot or a pigeon or a seagull.
Interesting. Like,
there's one moment where, like, if there's bubbles over a character, you can see their memory with the ghost that you're trying to get a hold of, right? It sounds so weird. And this is definitely one of those artsy fartsy games, if you haven't figured that out. That's why it's 100% up my alley. So it's a cute game though.
I love the visuals of it. I'm looking at the store page and I don't know what's going on, but it looks like a piece of toast is flipping me the bird.
Yeah. It's very charming, very quirky and weird. And it's just one of those that, like, it doesn't want you to take it seriously, even though it's dealing with kind of a tough topic. Especially if you're squeamish about death and ghosts, then you're kind of like, the whole game. But I really liked the way that they handle it. And I thought the way that the stories are told about the people and the memories that everybody has with them are really done in a sweet and funny way. One of my favorites is, again, I mentioned the seagull already, so I'm just going to go ahead and spoil this a little bit. It's not technically a spoiler, but when you're interacting with the memories, you'll have like a fuzzy image on the screen, and then you'll need to pull the left trigger and right trigger to like force it to align and kind of clear up. And the memory that the seagull has of the lighthouse keeper is how the seagull had made this beautiful nest, but it was missing something, and then they stole a Rubik's cube from the lighthouse keeper, and the lighthouse keeper was upset with them but let them keep it anyway. And that's what the seagull remembers about the lighthouse keeper. Once you find that item, or once you clear that memory up, then you actually have to look around in that scene to find the item that was part of the memory. So the lighthouse keeper had Buddha dolls that he loved, for example. So you may need to do the slice through different parts, so that you can look through cabinets and other items so that you can find the missing Buddha that was misplaced. It plays, there's mostly just a hidden object element to it without too much as far as puzzles go. There is one character who has riddles he will ask you. He's a jerk. His riddles are hard, and thank God there are guides on the internet, because that's the only way I got through some of them. So I appreciate how creative they are, but man, they're also fucking hard. Because there was one, it was like you had to find an unexpected spider, and since the one character really loved plants, I spent just an insane amount of time looking in one specific room for a spider plant. Because that would have been an unexpected spider.
Yeah. Yeah.
It was literally a spider in a shoe.
Spoilers.
Yeah. But then, like, once I figured out that that was kind of the trick to the riddles, I was like, okay, I can do this. But I spent way too long looking for a spider plant. But I had fun. I had fun doing all of it. And I really enjoyed the game. I think it's one of those that's, if you like artsy fartsy kind of games at all, anything that's kind of out of the realm of normal, and you want something that's a peaceful experience that's going to be charming and kind of quirky, then man, this just hits all the right notes.
Cool. Then $20. What's your verdict?
Fucking buy it. Cool.
All right, next up is Faraday Protocol, developed by Red Koi Box, published by Deck 13 Spotlight, released August 12th on Xbox One, Switch, PS4, and PC for $24.99. Faraday Protocol is a first-person, story-driven puzzle game that will test your curiosity and keen perception. You are Rog Zekon, interstellar archaeologist from planet Cunor. You've been sent by your company to investigate the source of a mysterious signal coming from an unexplored star system. Oh, tell us about Faraday Protocol.
You ever wanted to be an alien archaeologist? I don't mean like an archaeologist who looks for evidence of aliens either. I mean, do you want to be the alien that is an archaeologist?
Sure.
Because that's what you're going to do here. It's, again, I really just picked a lineup of quirky shit this week. And that's fine. This is a first-person game. It is essentially a puzzler. There are collectibles. Fucking I don't know where. I don't know how I managed to just go through this game and find jack shit, but I did it. It's one of those games that's like super easy on the surface, but the puzzles do get quite complex. You're armed with a little ray gun called a Biotool. And then that's not my accent, by the way. That is how I do pronounce bio, but but it is a BIA tool, so a Biotool. And you use your little Biotool to collect energy and move it around so that you can open doors and solve puzzles and progress through this Art Deco sci-fi mashup of an environment and uncover some information about the people that were there before you. And I don't want to spoil anything, so that's that. So, the puzzles do, like I said, they start off pretty mundane, and you kind of feel silly. Like, if you spend more than a few minutes looking at one, you go, wow, I might need to take a nap or something, because that was easier than it should have been. It's literally just the game walking you through, teaching you how to, like, it functions. And then all of a sudden it just goes, cool, now watch this. And you feel like an idiot. So it's a pretty hefty ramp up from training wheels to throwing you into the puzzles. But the puzzles are well done. They're creative. And they do force you to think and explore. And I still wish I explored to the point where I found collectibles. But hey, at least I solved the puzzle, so I'm not a complete idiot.
Proud of you.
It is a short game. That is probably my biggest gripe with it.
How long do you think it is?
You can complete it in an hour. Yeah. If you are not one of those people who get hung up on puzzles and shit, you really could. There are videos of people completing it in sub 1 hour.
Now, are those like speed runs, or I'd imagine it would take you longer on your first.
Like, your first run might take you 2 hours. Might. And that might be pushing it. But if you're taking time and like finding collectibles, you might be able to get a little more than 2 hours out of it. But if you're using a guide and stuff, it's definitely sub 2 hours.
Well, you haven't found all the collectibles, so ha.
Yeah, because I didn't use a guide. So there's that. I guess I just have to play it again, which is fine. I didn't not enjoy the game, right?
Yeah.
Like, I had a good time with it, and I really appreciated the puzzles and the world designs. And I tend to be a little iffier on sci-fi stuff. I don't particularly like sci-fi, but this one wasn't so overbearing with it that I couldn't enjoy it anyway. Although it's definitely science fiction stuff. I did want to say the world looks fantastic. It's really impressive. I did see a few instances, though, that kind of got me, where you could tell that they had reused assets. Like, trees would be too close together that were identical. And like, probably should have spaced those out a little more and put some other stuff between them so they weren't quite blatantly obvious. Rocks were especially a big notifier of, like, we copied and pasted some assets a few times. I don't necessarily mind it, but I just remember sitting and looking at it and going, that's obvious. But other than that, it looks really pretty, and it's a unique experience. No, well, it's really creative, and I had a good time.
Well, for $25, what is your verdict?
I think the price is kind of high for how short it is. I mean, you could argue the replay and finding collectibles and stuff, but it's still going to be a fairly short game either way you shake it up. So I'm gonna go with a recommended try it.
Right.
Yeah.
All right, next game to talk about is Witch Spring 3 Refine, the story of Irudi, developed by KiwiWalks Co., Ikina Co., published by Innin Games, released August 13th on the Switch for $39.99. Witch Spring 3 takes you to deep into the misty forest where the witch Irudi lives secluded from the rest of the world. When one day she meets an adventurous young man named Adrian in the forest, Irudi's life changes as she is thrown into the tide that determines the fate of deities and humans. The adventure begins and leads you down an entwined path between light and darkness. Which path will you choose? Serlina checked this one out, wrote in a review. Let's see what path she chose. She says, greetings, SML friends and fam. It's your girl, Serlina, and this week I'm reviewing Witch Spring 3 Refine, the story of Irudi on Nintendo Switch. In Witch Spring, you get to control the very capable Irudi, a doll-making, sword-wielding, spell-casting witch with a capital W, who gets pulled into the world's conflict after a chance meeting with a little human. Let's get on to the review. Judging by the title, you may or may not have surmised that this is a series. I admit I have no idea what the Witch Spring universe is and what it's about before I played this game, but apparently it's quite popular. You play as Irudi, the aforementioned witch, who is incredibly lonely. She's so lonely that she attempts to breathe life into dolls that she makes to have someone to talk to. She's not strong enough to get the dolls to talk back to her, and she starts off on her quest to become stronger so she can have a friend. Aww. That's just sad.
I wish it is.
I'd be her friend. In doing this, she meets Adrian, a human that she becomes intrigued with, and they get into hijinks and shenanigans galore. I love the word shenanigans. Thank you. Honestly, I don't care. The story is there, but it's completely forgettable, pedestrian, and not this game's strong suit. You're supposed to care about how you steer Irudi through the world. Her actions influence how the world perceives her, but because the story is thinner than a wet piece of toilet paper, I found myself not caring all that much about her journey. That being said, everything else is really good. The combat in the game is fantastic. It's surprisingly robust and deep. You're controlling a badass. She's got the sword, she's got the magic, and she's got the dolls. The doll mechanic is really cool. Once you have enough vitality, you can make the dolls come alive and summon them in combat. Each of the dolls have different abilities, and you can summon up to three of them at a time. They act fairly independently of Irudi, meaning they're doing their thing while she does her thing, and it's really awesome. Of course, the drawback is it costs a certain percentage of mana to summon them, and if you don't have it, you can't summon. I didn't really have an issue, though, there. You have spells as well. You learn spells by completing quests and crafting the spells with certain materials you find. Pretty cool. You can also enhance your spells with other support spells, for lack of a better word, giving your spells that extra oomph. You also have swordplay. The witch can slice and dice. As you level up, you unlock different swordsman abilities as well, which is fantastic. The balance here is her sword abilities drain her HP, but again, I didn't have many problems balancing that out. Also, the way she levels up is really cool. She has to training. What? I don't know what she means there. She has to training. Paul, do you know what that means?
Not the faintest idea. Also, I was slow unmuting because I'm holding the kitten. She's asleep.
Aww.
Yeah, she come Paul over.
Paul trains on my lap.
She come over and curled up on my arm and then like wrapped her paws around me. And I'm like, oh.
Aww.
I can't unmute.
Oh, that's your fault for muting. Yep. Anyway, she has training like running research push-ups for 5 days. Each time she trains, she increases her stats. The entire system is really, really neat. Graphically, it's beautiful. The world is vibrant. I didn't feel it was too bright or oversaturated. Irudi is super cute and everything's designed well. I would suggest playing this one in TV mode as the text gets real small and handheld. I would also be remiss if I didn't mention the voice acting. That's done in Japanese with English subs, but I think they did a really good job there. Didn't really know what they were saying, but I felt what was being said, and that's the most important thing. Witch Spring 3 Refine, the story of Irudi, is available on the Nintendo Switch for $39.99, and should you buy this one, I have to give it a try it. I think if you're a fan of the series, you'll probably love it. As someone on the outside looking in, the story did not hook me. As much as I had fun with the combat and mechanics of the game, they'll only take you so far. It was a good experience, and I had fun, but it won't stick with you. All right, that is that.
Yep.
Hope they bring it to more console. I would give it a go.
Yeah.
Bring it to Xbox. Come on, Innin. Do it. Next game to talk about is Rogue Explorer, developed by Zoo Corporation, published by East Asia Soft, released August 18th on Xbox One, Switch, PS4, and PS5 for $7.99. Side-scrolling pixel art action combines with roguelike challenge for a customizable adventure into the Abyss Tower. Paul, tell us about Rogue Explorer.
You're a little explorer, and I don't think this is a roguelike. I don't know where Rogue comes from. Is it? Because I mean, if you die, you start back at the beginning of that particular level, but you don't lose your progress in the other dungeons. There's different areas.
Every time you play, it's randomly generated, isn't it? Every time you play?
No.
No? Those are intentional designs?
Those are intentional designs.
I thought they were procedurally generated.
No, because I can do that fucking mind level in my sleep now, because I kept dying to this stupid boss. And yeah, it's not procedurally generated. It is exactly the same.
Well, those now, are some weird level designs then.
There are a lot of weird choices with this game. I'm going to be perfectly honest. I don't hate the game. It's going to sound like I'm kind of ragging on it. For gameplay itself, I had fun. I was just going into a level and hacking and slashing my way through it, and then getting to a boss and hacking and slashing at it. The difficulty spike between the first area, the grasslands that you go through, and then the second area with the mining, the boss battle difficulty is there, and it sucks. You do have to grind and get your upgrades. The interesting thing about it is that I played a lot without realizing the upgrades were there. Like, you could see the little blacksmith in the back, and I'm like, I walk over to the blacksmith, but you can't. When you're in the hub world, you can't go anywhere. And so then I didn't realize that. I just thought the tabs up top were for like settings and stuff. And then eventually I tabbed over and was like, oh, jackass, this is where you upgrade. Yeah, it was just one of those, like, I don't know. It just didn't resonate with me to do that initially. It just didn't feel intuitive to do. Like, I saw the gear and I was like, whatever, that's settings.
Cole, here we go. Carnage is getting some info from the store page where upper levels do not change for a day, shifting in their layout only after the in-game day-night cycle has progressed.
Oh, okay.
And while deeper journeys take you into more dangerous dungeons that unpredictably change every time you enter them.
Yeah, none of the ones I went through changed. But I didn't think any of it was particularly hard. Beyond that stupid bull boss in the mines. But it's one of those kind of situations, like, I went into it expecting a more brutal roguelike, and that's not really what it was. And so then I was kind of relieved. I will say, though, I did a dumb, I think it was just because I was so tired, but like, I did all my upgrades and I was like, yeah, I'm going to fucking whoop that damn bull's ass now, right? And I guess the bull. I forgot to equip my actual weapons and stuff. I was like, how did I just buy all these upgrades and now I'm doing worse and dying more quickly? I don't understand. And it was because I was playing like I was gonna like go in there with a shit ton of health and stuff that I did not have. Because it was not equipped.
Oh boy.
I did a dumb playing this game. Once I figured it out, I was far better off. But yeah, even still, like, I think it's a testament, though, that if I was fucking up and not equipping my shit and I was still making it to the bosses and stuff, like, it's not an overwhelmingly difficult game. You could just kind of sit back with your feet up and hack and slash through it and be fine. And for that sake, I was kind of glad. I was like, I've been playing a shit ton of Hades, and that is a hard roguelike. And so I kind of appreciated that I could just like beat up on these little monsters and not have to put too much effort into it. I did laugh. The sword just kind of like floats around your character. And it reminded me of playing Apple Slash recently, because the sword floats around the Apple character. And when I first saw it, I was like, you gotta be kidding me. And I can't remember if Apple Slash was East Asia Soft or Rattalaika. I don't remember.
Oh, I don't remember either.
But I couldn't help but make the connection. And I was the whole time, I was like, well, at least I practiced and know how to use the weapon and how far to stay back and stuff.
Apple Slash was Rattleka.
Was it? That makes it even funnier. There's just devs out there just randomly having the weapon float around the character for reasons.
I don't understand. The one in this game, I believe if you have a second weapon attack, the auto attacks for you.
Yeah.
It just floats around and it'll shoot out there and attack.
Yeah. It's very handy. You can also, you level up as you're going through the different arenas or dungeons or whatever you want to call them. And then when you level up, you get to pick a different ability. So I always like consistently went for the double jump to make it easier to just get past the things that were annoying me. but there were other skills, like you did more damage if your health was full, or your sword would randomly get a one-hit kill on anything except the boss. And then I was so mad when I saw it said except the boss. But I got tickled because when it did work, it would pop up and say hashtag death.
Yeah.
And I loved it. I was like, that's so cool. So yeah, I really enjoyed it. It's just one of those that's like, it's one of those kind of roguelikes you can play mindlessly, which is interesting because that's not something you usually get to say about roguelikes.
Yeah, and I appreciate that it can be deeper if you want it to. Like, there's a crafting system in the game if you want to go there and use it. Yeah. There's
you can even customize your character. I gave mine pink hair.
Yeah, and there's sliders for the colors. I just gave mine super bright eyes. I bought this game like 2 hours before the show, and I just got sucked into it before the show. And given that I actually paid money for this, I can say without a doubt that I would buy this one because I did, and I'm happy with my purchase. I think it's a really cool game. What is your verdict?
Yeah, I'm good giving it a buy it too. I would say if you're looking at it hoping that like it's an easy completion, it is a bit of a grind. You got to get 50,000 coins.
Yeah, so it'll take a while.
Good luck with that. But at least it's fun.
All right. Well, next up is Barry the Bunny, developed by Light Up, published by Rattleka Games. Released August 13th on Xbox One, Series X and S, PS4, PS5, and Switch for $4.99. A 2D action platformer about a bunny with short, challenging levels. Cole, what else is there to say?
Not much, to be honest. I will say this is an adorable-ass game. I'm usually pretty fickle when it comes to pixely art, but this is cute. I love all the bright colors. I love that it's an adorable little world. There's a little bunny on every level that needs you to build it a bridge to its home, which is great because you're Barry the Builder Bunny, and that's what you do. So you need to find 3 pieces of wood in each level, and once you've got the 3 pieces of wood, you can build a little bridge, and the bunny can go home, and then it'll give you hammers that you can use to throw at enemies, and carrots. When you get enough carrots, then you get an extra hit to Bunny Barry. He his armor, if you will, is construction gear. So like you get a power up bag, which will like give you a hard hat or a safety vest or sunglasses, protective eyewear.
Yeah, like the sunglasses
that look like sunglasses. So yeah, the more of those that you have, then the more hits that you can take, and then you gradually lose your protective articles of clothing if you take a hit. But you can again gain it back by getting enough carrots or finding a power up bag. You don't have to save the bunny every level; you can just survive and walk through it, and that technically counts as beating it as well. Some of them are a little harder than others. Eventually, like, there is TNT that if you jump on, then it's going to blow your ass to kingdom come. There are 2 different types of bombs. One you can jump on and it blinks for a few seconds. And other ones, if you touch them, then goodbye. So you have to kind of learn to manipulate and move around those without getting blown the fuck up. unless you've got enough protective gear that you don't care. I don't know that a safety vest is quite enough to save you from TNT, but at least for Barry, he does okay. And then after clearing so many levels, this is basically a platformer, by the way, in case that's not glaringly obvious by all the bouncing around on TNT and shit. Once you clear enough levels, then you'll have a boss fight. I will say I did manage to break the game on the first boss fight because, of course, I fucking did.
Yeah, of course you did.
I was too fast, and I got through, and I got to the end, and I sat there, and I waited forever, and I guess the enemy glitched because he never caught up to me. I mean, I let it sit for 15 minutes, and he was nowhere to be seen.
Jeez.
So I had to do it over, and I had to go slow. I don't think I've ever had an issue where I've done a game too quickly, but here we are. There's a first time for everything, and Barry the Bunny is it. GG me. Anyway, once I redid it again and went a little slower, it was fine, and I was able to beat it. You need to save 25 of the bunnies and complete 26 levels. If you want to get the completion, quick, easy, painless gamer score. Nobody's mad at that. Well, there are people who are mad at that. I got to take that back. Don't worry, TA. TA's mad about everything.
Yeah.
Achievements are too easy.
If you look into pad your gamer score a little, there's an option there. But also, the game is just fun. It's one of those, you know, kick back, put your feet up, play it a little bit, and have a good time. I like these little short, simple platformers like this because they're good palate cleansers.
Yeah.
I spend a lot of time playing a lot of dense shit. Some of it not even good. And so it's nice to just have a break where you're like, you know what? I'm going to spend 20 or 30 minutes and just bounce around saving bunnies and be happy about it.
Cool. Well, then $5 on this one. What do you say?
Yeah, give it a buy it.
Cool. Good stuff. All right. We got to get Aki in here because she has got a game to talk about. So let us dial her up and I will stretch this out, hoping that it dials her up.
Going to crash her Skype.
It's totally going to crash her Skype because that's what always happens. Hear that or she's in the bathroom.
Yeah.
I said one left. I told her she had one left. So, so how's your weekend?
Hasn't started yet. We got homeschooling tomorrow, Friday. Friday is homeschooling. And then I'm free for 2 days to sit here and stare at the wall and breathe, which is something I have not done all week. Homeschooling's tough because number three's teacher is like, she's doing too much. The school's like, here's your curriculum. It's all contained in this one program. And all you do is sign in and do the work. Number two is doing the same program, but for middle school. And her teacher calls once a day and says, hey, do you need anything? And I go, no. And he goes, is she doing her work? And I go, yeah. And he goes, okay, cool. Talk to you tomorrow. And he hangs up.
Wow.
Number three's teacher schedules live meets for 8 a.m., 11 a.m., 2 p.m. She has scheduled times for Google Classroom work, which they are not supposed to fucking be doing because they are doing the contained program. And then she has scheduled like 2 hours for the program, and I'm like, lady, you're gonna hit a wall on Monday when you realize that program is 8 hours a day scheduling. Like, it's already all there. It's designed to be an 8 hour program, and she's got 2 hours scheduled out for them to do it, and good luck with that. There's a lot of kids who are gonna fall behind on Monday.
Well, Aki's finally here. Aki, how are you doing?
Pretty good.
Good stuff. You finally made it.
Yeah, it crashed again, obviously.
How's Skype treating you?
Well, fuck Skype. Otherwise, great. It only does this when someone tries to put me into a fucking call. I don't know why. Like, the rest of the time, it works perfectly fine. Just whenever someone tries to put me into a voice chat, it just goes straight to hell.
Nice.
I don't know.
Cool. Well, you got a game to talk about. You ready?
Yes.
All right, I'm excited to hear about this one. This one has my intrigue, but next game to talk about is called The Veil: Shadow of the Crown, developed and published by Falling Squirrel Inc. released August 19th on Xbox One and PC for $19.99. Close your eyes, become a warrior, feel your enemy's rasping breath, a foot shifts on the swampy ground, the crack of steel on a wooden shield. The Veil is an audio-based action-adventure that sets out to breathe new life into medieval combat and fantasy narrative. Aki, this is a story about a blind person, and you are blind, so I figure you're the right person to do this?
Yeah, I think so.
Did it work?
Yes. Yes, it did. Very well. I haven't had to use my ears this hard since I was training on how to use seeing eye dogs and fucking canes. So it was nice to just be, not have anything visual going on. It was very nice just to have to use my ears for once. It's been a long time since it's been a long time since I've actually listened to anything in a video game, even for that matter, because usually I flip on music and listen to music instead of the game itself. So that was very nice. The start of the game, when you first boot this up, the game is made straight up for blind people. And it made me cry when I first started up, and even thinking about it, it's starting to choke me up already. So I'm going to try and do this without crying. In the game, when you first boot it up, like main menu screen, immediately you hear flying squirrels, the Veil. Press the start button, I guess, is what it said, because it actually says the proper buttons for the system, and I don't know what the fuck they are.
Menu.
Press the menu button to start, and it tells you, push down to go through the options. And you push down once, start game, push down again, options, again, credits. The entire thing speaks to you, telling you what everything is. I've never heard of a game that does that, at least on a console, ever, period.
There's not many. I know I've ran into a few.
The Division does it on the menus.
Even on the start menu at the very
moment you start it up, it has text-to-speech on, yeah.
I want to say there's been like an EA game or two as well that it's the same thing, or no, Flight Sim, I believe. As soon as you started that game, it had audio prompts telling you what was going on.
That is the weirdest game to put that on, but okay. I don't see too many blind people playing Microsoft Flight Simulator personally, but you never know, I guess. That's an odd one. I hadn't ever had that experience before. I never thought that experience was going to exist. And then it was there, and I was like, oh my god, that just made me cry just in and of itself, because you can't even turn that kind of stuff off. That is permanently on throughout the entire game, because there are menus inside the game as well that you can access through the view button, I think it is, which are just like how much money you have, what your equipment is, stuff like that. But in the game, you play as a young princess, queen. I don't know exactly what her title technically is, named Ash, and she's been trained by her uncle to use the sword, to use the shield, all sorts of other weapons, even though she's completely blind. And her brother was crowned king, and she's been sent off to another keep in the borderlands, which is just kind of a semi-hostile place. I have no idea why they would have put her there. And again, this is all during medieval times, so you don't have to worry about guns or anything, thank God, because that'd be a hell of a lot harder to dodge. And she gets attacked on her way there by just some bad people. And the entire game is her walking on foot with a stranger that she becomes familiar with. Fucking train. Yeah, like... Trains rarely come through here. Of course it picks while I'm on the most... Probably the most important fucking review I've ever done. Of course one comes through, you motherfucker. This is the first one I've heard in
deep,
months.
Deep, emotional, intense review. That's our show. That's yeah. We can't have anything serious without some shit happening.
Yeah, no, the worst thing is there's one house in between me and the fucking railroad tracks. I am right fucking there. Oh my god, I fucking hate this train. And it was closed for so goddamn long because that train is simply to supply one fucking company. That's it. It brings shit to and from one company. I fucking hate it. And the company closed down, and then it was bought by another company that put a fucking train on it again. Rat bastards. God, I hope you still can't hear that. Jesus Christ.
We can. Just continue on. It's fine.
I hate it. It bothers me. But she was traveling with her uncle and a bunch of other guards, and they're attacked. The horse of her carriage decided to run off, and it crashed itself. Because of course it did, and she's fine because of course she is. And then she comes across an unknown man who says he's a shepherd, that he'd been injured by the same group of people because they're raiding the entire village side. And you and this man talk. You call him Shepherd because that's what he was. You guys talk, and he agrees to help you get back to your kingdom proper, where your brother is. But you have to deal with a giant horde of enemies between here and there, and it's 500 fucking miles, and you have to walk it. Yay! Fun! So, you know, off you go. You end up having to fight against wolves, with basically the Mongol horde, with bad mercenaries, and even with monsters, because this game also has the Feywild in it. And they're just trying to get warriors for themselves, basically. Old mythology there. But yeah, you get into town, you buy some weapons, get yourself outfitted. Well, the shepherd just walks and does nothing, even though he can see and is a man, is probably pretty strong. He lets the blind girl do everything instead.
Nice.
Yeah. In every town, again, there's no visuals the entire time. The screen is black. All you see on it is, you know, lights floating across occasionally, and when it rains, it does something that I absolutely hate that nearly gives me a seizure. It gets basically raindrops of just blue just darting across the screen. But that's it. That's the only two things you see on the screen, is black with a bit of light or black with streaming. That's it. So everything is based on hearing. In order to buy weapons and armor, obviously you have to find a smithy, and you find that by hearing them
metal
with their hammers. To get quests, you have to go and find taverns and stuff, and you can tell where those are by music or by people being a bunch of rowdy cunts. And then, you know, you find some other stores as well that you have to deal with. But those are the main two, really, for getting quests and in order to make money, because you don't have any money to start off with.
Speaking of making money.
Yeah, I saw that. I was wondering when you were going to stop me for it.
No Time for Games coming in with sub for 38 months. Good Lord, that is way too long. Thank you so much for the support. Always love having you here, making that money. Cash rules everything around me.
That makes sense. So,
so you know, yeah, the Veil. It sounds pretty incredible.
Yeah, and everything goes together really well. Like, from where there's just story beats to combat to interacting with places, it all flows together really well because there's no cutscenes, there's no visuals that you have to splice together. It's all audio, and it just goes so smoothly from one to the next. And I absolutely love it. The combat is really unique as well. And yes, I know I use that word. Because you're blind, You don't move your character around. They stay planted where they are. Instead, they can use their shield to block in any of the three main areas and use their sword in their other hand to swing in any of the three areas, right, left, forward. And the enemies will come from any one of those directions, and they'll even move around. So you can hear them if they're walking through water. You can hear their footsteps. If they're walking in grass, you can hear the slight crunching as they move around. And then you can either block their attacks because you can hear them put forth some effort to try and hurt you. You can either block it or you can swing and hit them before they can hit you. And they don't just put you 1v1 either. There are a number of cases where people have been attacking from every fucking side all at once. Yeah, it gets pretty hard and hectic. And you have no idea how much health you have or anything. I don't know if you can die in the game. I assume you can. I don't know. I never died because I'm good at this. But yeah,
you have practice being blind.
Damn straight.
Look at you cheating here. You got the leg up on everyone else.
And it's really fun because you not only does your shield, it has a certain amount of time it takes to raise your shield. Your swings take different amounts of energy. Your armor is, some of them are heavier, some are lighter, and they bog you down, making it harder for you to get your energy back and stuff. So sometimes it takes longer to make swings. Sometimes it takes a while to recover from them. It has a whole bunch of stuff, and there's multiple types of weapons that you can use. And when you go into the smithy to buy them, it tells you the different stats that it has and compared to what you have. So it's like, oh, this one has a slow attack and it takes a long time to get your energy back. So once you've swung all your swings, it takes forever before you can swing again. It's like, personally, not how I want to play fucking games. I always stuck with the fast to very fast, and I just left everything else alone because I was like, fuck this. But armor also was like, it impacted how much of a penalty you took when you swung, so it took more energy basically, and a penalty to how quickly you get your energy back and stuff. And it really made you figure out what you wanted to buy and what you didn't. There's not a whole lot to choose from in every town. Usually it has one upgrade for each item that just makes you to where you're not as likely to take critical hits and stuff, but you can skip those and just wait until the next town. Because every level there's usually a town, and then there's like all the side quests you can do, and there's a lot of them that you can do in each town. And then there's, you know, a couple days where you have to travel between towns, which are usually just a fight or two and for each day. And then you're back in the town again, and they have a completely different set of items you can buy. So you make a lot of money in it. I think I bought literally everything that was the most expensive, and by the end of the game, I still had like 200 and something copper because I just did everything. I was like, I want to do all the side quests. I want to hunt everything. You hunt in this. As a blind woman, you take a bow and arrow and you fucking hunt things. Jeez. And it is so fun. It is so fucking hard. I missed so much, but every time I hit, oh my God, I felt so powerful.
I'm assuming this is a game that you really got to play with headphones on.
Actually, surprisingly, you don't. It is really good. And there was many times where I just had my TV speakers doing things. It was really good at telling you which side it was on and everything. Obviously, if you play it with headphones, it's going to do better because headphones are specifically made to do that. Not every TV is.
No.
Because there are still mono TVs instead of stereo, so. But yeah, they tell you where enemies are and even how far they are away they are, which is really, really nice. It's just when they're straight ahead of you, things get a little complicated because then it's not really loud in either ear. It's much quieter. It's like, I think it's right in front of me. It could be a little to the right, a little to the left, but let's shoot the arrow.
good luck. But overall, $20 on this one. What are you thinking?
Even if it was $60, I would have said go for it. Jeez. This is one of the few games where I would pay a premium for. This game is fan-fucking-tastic. This will probably take a spot in my top 10.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. I don't know when the last time something took a spot in my actual top 10. Usually it's in my top 20.
What's it going to kick out?
I have no idea. I'll have to look at what's even in my top 10 because I don't know off the top of my head.
You keep it written. Do you have a list?
Yes.
Oh, geez.
Yes, I do.
Oh, geez. All right. Well, we got one more review to take care of, so I'm going to let you and Cole go. Cole, do you have any final words?
Play Hades.
Fuck you. Play the Veil.
Can't. You took the code.
Well, go buy it. It's worth it. I promise. I swear it's really, really worth it. I swear. Go buy it and play it. You'll love it. Everyone, go buy it and play it today. You'll love it. I promise. Just do it. I command you.
All right. And final game to talk about tonight. We are bringing back Jacob Garner. And Jacob, you have some company, don't you?
I do. My oldest son, Sam, who's been on the show before, he's reviewed games like Wide Awake Pip and Lego City Undercover and a couple of other games. And Silas, my youngest son, who I'm pretty sure that this is his first time he's ever been on the show. Say hi, kids.
Hi. You did that 2 times in a row now.
Well, yeah, but this time we're recording. And I had you say hi to Mr. Joe. So
they're smart. They know what's up.
Yeah.
So, all right, you got a game to talk about. Let's get to this. The game is called Paw Patrol, the movie Adventure City Calls, developed by Darker Studio, published by Outright Games, released August 13th on Xbox One, Switch, and PS4 for $39.99. Big City, Bigger Adventure. The Paw Patrol must save Adventure City from Mayor Humdinger's selfish scheming, and they need you on Team Possum. Kids, tell us about the game. What is Paw Patrol, the movie Adventure City Calls?
I like how you could drive
So what's the game about?
Stopping me, Humdinger, from his bad deeds.
Okay. I mean, we already described that in the, in the intro for that. Yes. All right. But, so what do you do in each of the levels? Do you remember? All right. So in this game, you go a lot from point A to point B. Ryder, who is the human leader of the Paw Patrol.
Who knows how old he is?
Yeah, he's. Yeah, I don't know. The new animation style.
And he has a pair.
And he has a what?
A pair.
He has a pair?
A pair. A pair.
Up hair?
Yeah,
hair. Oh, as in his hair goes up. Yeah. Right. Okay, so he has up hair. Okay. So he gives the dogs these missions, and each mission requires 2 of the dogs. And each one has their own abilities, like Marshall, who is
funny.
Yeah, okay, so he's funny, but he is a firefighter.
And
what does Rubble do? Rubble's construction, and he does.
We never actually got to the part what he does in his vehicle.
Yes, you did. You played the Hyperloop level. Okay.
That one was
so. All right. So, anyways, he smashes rocks with his vehicle. Rocky recycles trash. Silas, what does Chase do?
He can do zip lines.
Are you Silas? I didn't. Okay.
Hey, this is what it's like, me trying to control you guys, Jacob.
Yeah. Silas, so what does Chase do? Is he a police dog? All right, so the listeners can't hear you nod your head. Yep. Okay. So anyway, so you go from point A to point B. Each level features a vehicle portion, which... If you had played the previous game with the Mighty Pups Save Adventure Bay, they intersperse the level it goes from point A to point B. In the vehicle portion, you have to avoid road hazards or sky hazards if you're playing a sky in her plane or helicopter in this one. And you have to collect pup treats throughout the levels. Now, if you collect pup treats and you unlock stuff.
And don't forget about the fish that Zuma has to avoid.
Right. And Zuma on his, who is like a search and rescue, ocean related dog. You have to avoid fish and stuff like that. So, you know, there it's the fair, like the levels are fairly straightforward.
Are they 2D or 3D?
It's a top-down perspective of 3D, like or slightly top-down. I mean, it's angled at a little bit, but it's a 3D platformer. And the thing is that the game in its current state is a little broken. But however, the devs are working on it. I will say this, the gameplay is a much bigger improvement over the previous games. Co-op is working a lot better than it did in the Mighty Pups game. There aren't like, you still have little quick time events related in them. However, they're far more easier to complete because Silas isn't having as much of a trouble doing them as he did with the Mighty Pups one. So they're clearly like working on making it more accessible for their fan base. And it's just, you know, they've really smoothed out a lot of the issues that I personally had with the previous game. Now, with that, I mean, like some of the levels, like Sam, you were saying that they have glitches, right?
Yes.
Like, so what happens with these kind of glitches?
Sometimes you can't see stuff. Sometimes there's giant barriers, which you probably already discovered.
Yeah. I mean, well, I was playing the game a little bit earlier than you guys. So, yeah. What? I was. Anyway.
Your kid's mad that you were like, playing without them.
Well, all right, fine. If they want to stay up till 2 a.m. to try to play this game, then, you know, that's their business. but there are issues with invisible barriers with sometimes, and I have run into parts where it actually makes it impossible to progress through the level. And so you'll have to stop and restart, and none of your progress got saved. So all of, like the pup treats that you had picked up previously, it doesn't save them. And on top of that, the vehicle portions in the previous game, if you had missed anything, all it would do would just, it would count up your tally and that's just added. This one, it treats it like it treats it like its own specific thing. So, and every single time, you replay it, in the previous one, if you had missed anything, you just play through it again and you just pick up the ones that you missed and it counts it. This time, anything that you missed, it just treats it like you never played it in the first place. Hmm. So instead of only having to pick up like 34 pup treats that you were missing, you now have to pick up 250 again. And it's just, that part is a decision that I don't agree with. And I did email them about it, so I don't know if it's a glitch or if it was intentional. They never specifically said, but they were pretty much like, listen, we rolled out the new patch. You know, tell us what's fixed, what's not.
I'm going to take a wild guess that this is a game that was kind of pushed out to meet a deadline with the movie releasing.
It very much feels that way. One of the problems I have with it is that, granted, in the new movie, it's all set in Adventure City. But the thing is, there's like all of the levels are generic city types. Like, there's no like, you know, if you go to any major city, I mean, there are distinctive boroughs. Like, you know, you'll have a Chinatown, you'll have like a business district, you'll have any of that kind of stuff. There's no variation with this game, and it's so everything just looks the same. And I'm going to be honest, to me as an adult, it honestly felt like a $40 DLC than its own new game. I mean, despite the fact that there was a ton of improvements, it really kind of felt like I was playing the same level over and over again, just with a different vehicle portion in the middle of it. Silas, were there any issues that you had with the game?
Well, I don't know.
You don't know? Well, you had said sometimes it was making you jump when you weren't jumping. You know, is there stuff you like about the game?
Sky's my favorite flying pup.
Okay. Well, and also you like the inclusion of Liberty, the new dog, right?
Yep.
Okay. What does Liberty do?
I don't know.
We haven't gotten to test it out yet.
Yes, you have gotten to test it out. You've played as Liberty. Right. All right. So the whole thing with Liberty is that Liberty is supposedly able to sniff out the fastest route through this, which you played. If you played the previous game, Mighty Pups, this is what Tracker did. The Australian
dog.
Yes, I know it's a dog. I was trying to remember what kind of dog he is. I think he's supposed to be a Chihuahua, actually.
That your kid owned you on the show.
Whatever. Anyway. So in retrospect, like, I get why Tracker's not. I mean, Tracker may not even be in the movie, which, you know, but it just seems like Liberty just takes the place of whatever Tracker's abilities are. So
except for the cables. His cables.
Well, yeah, all right. So Tracker had cables in that one, but Chase has the cables in this one. So it's just like they just divvied up Tracker's stuff, which is really neither here nor there.
They never did anything with Everest's stuff.
Well, I don't know if Everest is in the movie, but there are some issues going back with the pups and how, like, how they look and stuff like that. So at the beginning of every level, they do this animation where the pups leap off of the elevator to go meet with Chase. And when they do it, there's this weird clipping that happens with the color stuff. And I don't know if it was like a creative decision.
I think that was so when you could see them for like objects. I think that was for like, so if they were behind an object in the screen, wouldn't let you see through them.
Well, right. Like, but like the thing is that it's not really clear whether it's a glitch or not. If it was a creative decision, it still doesn't look like it was properly done. Another thing is that when you finish a level, like, there's this little animation of the dogs, like, figuring out what's going on and what their next move is. But all they do is just look at each other. There's no audio that plays. And so you get dogs awkwardly staring at each other for, like, a minute and a half before you're allowed to advance to the next level. And on top of it, when you're playing the mini games, the animation clearly shows that the dog barks when they get selected, yet no barking sound gets played. And also sometimes there's actually like a graphic slowdown, and it's really noticeable with the dogs, like, you know, generic animation movements, but also the moving background at the same time. Like, it slows down a lot, which also brings us to, like, really what's the biggest for us. It's the biggest issue of the game. These load times are ridiculous on all these levels. Like, it's a good, like, 3 minutes at least for each level to load. And the mini games aren't any better.
If you're going to say 3 minutes, you better have a timer to back that up. I don't like when people exaggerate. It's like 45 seconds. They're like, it was 7 minutes long.
No, I will go and record it after this, and I'll upload it to up on Xbox for you to see. But the load times are incredibly long, at least 3 minutes.
And, like, we have to use
the kids. Yeah, I mean, granted, the thing is, the kids, it's long enough for the kids to put down their controllers, hop on their iPads, like, play a quick game of, like, Sonic Dash, and then get back to the. I'm like, and the thing is, I'm not exaggerating. We did this morning. Like, it's incredibly long. Now, there were a couple of times where it seemed like it improved after the patch, but it's still, like, for most of the levels, it's still happening. Yeah. So they really need to fix that. I mean, that's really my biggest complaint with the game, the load times.
Yeah, well, it sounds like they are actively working on it. They did push out one patch already that took care of some crashing and some minor issues that you had talked about previously. So it looks like they are actively working on it,
right,
which I think is a good sign. That's a positive in my eyes.
Are you saying it's a positive?
I'm hanging up now.
You're doggone right, you are.
All right, $40 on this one. Kids, did you have fun with it? Did you like it?
Yeah, all right, so Silas likes it. Sam, do you like it?
Yeah!
Yeah? All right.
Tracker's new.
What?
It's new.
You like it because it's new?
Yeah.
Well, that's fair. And you like playing co-op this time? Like, you know, you like playing with your brother or me? Yeah. Okay. Again, the listeners cannot hear you nod your head, but so anyway, I also like it as well. The $40 price tag is, in my opinion, it's way too steep for what feels it. Like, as I said, it feels like DLC for the previous game, because of, like the just how generic all the levels look, and it, you just feel like you're playing the same thing over and over again. With that, $40 is too steep for this. At the same time, like, if I had bought this and the kids were playing it at home, I already know I would have gotten my $40 worth out of it. So it's like, it's one of those things. I'm not cool with paying $40 for it, but I know my kids definitely are getting $40 worth of entertainment out of it. So
yeah. You wish it were cheaper, but it served its purpose.
Right. I mean, if your kids are big Paw Patrol fans, or even if you just like a kids game, an accessible platformer where you're never in any danger, there's no time limit, the quick time events don't catch you off guard, and you know they're all relatively easy to complete. You know, this game might be for you. I the other two games I used to play late at night when I wanted to play something, but also I didn't feel like actually having to think about what I was playing. So that being said, for $40, yeah, we all recommend it. So
also, I'd say sounds like you're leaning more on the side of try it officially.
I would say wait for a sale. I mean, if your kids like Paw Patrol, but they're not nuts about it, I would say wait for a sale, because I guarantee that this thing's going to go on sale come like Black Friday.
Okay, so it's a try it, yeah. On our scale, because wait for a sale isn't one of our ratings.
Whatever. It should be.
Well, that is it for this episode. We made it through another one. Jacob, thanks for being here to finish out the episode. Thanks to Cole for being here doing her thing as well, although she had to leave because she doesn't like you.
That's also fair.
Is very fair. Does anyone have any final words to end the show?
Well, you know, if you're interested in this Paw Patrol thing, the movie comes out tomorrow, August 20th, in theaters and on Paramount Plus.
Oh, it's out now because somebody doesn't understand how recording works.
Oh, yeah. Right. Well, whatever. Anyway, and I thought I could keep this a secret for my kids, but they ended up seeing an ad for it. So guess what family movie night tomorrow night is?
Yeah. Nice.
I like your maniacal laugh with that. Like,
I found that on Cartoon Sam, Network. Sit down.
Yeah, you found out through Cartoon Network. I'll have to have a word with them. So, all right. Any final thoughts, guys?
No.
Okay.
So,
are y'all gonna play the no game?
What's the no game?
You just say no.
No.
No.